Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Right. You know what day it is. It's Sunday.
Sunday.
We'll sell you the whole seats, and we don't even have Mark Edge. Wait, that's not how it goes.
Pretty accurate, though.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunate.
Truth in advertising. It is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. We do things a little bit different here than on the other nights of the week where Free Talk Live is on. Because, well, it's Sunday, and what better day to, like, be odd and weird and off and not the same, right? I can't think of a better day.
And we're here, so. Ooh, works
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Works out perfectly.
It's the perfect crew for that.
In the studio, it's...
Nikki.
The original Duke, Bishop, Coach, Richie Rich, Birdshot GQ, as it were.
Wow!
Well, slap my grandma and call me late for dinner. That's one hell of a title, sir.
I was hoping you would do yours first, just in general. But
I'm the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Yeah. Looks like you got some competition.
I feel like I've been put down.
There's a new cowboy in the neighborhood.
We were just talking about putting your brand, if you will. Oh, he's got the cowboy hat and everything.
I told you. Nice. Watch out.
Right, yeah. We were just talking about like what size condom you would need to put the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, on it, like as it unrolls before the show starts.
You know, for advertising purposes.
Yeah. Can you say that again? Because it was pretty awesome.
Oh, man, hold on. I got to pull it up. I don't have it memorized. The original Duke, Bishop, Coach, Richie Rich, Birdshot GQ, as it were.
Birdshot GQ. Nice.
The as it were is the best part.
I really like the bishop.
Okay.
I like the bishop part.
I was looking up like synonyms for all the stuff you use.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like there's nothing really for Esquire. So I went, well, let's change with the magazine, right? There's Esquire magazine. I've got the GQ magazine.
Okay. Nice.
And that also works.
Good touch. Good touch. Yeah, that's brilliant, man. Well done.
I'm never using it again. That's a one and done.
Oh, I'll get you like a one-time shirt made. Or something. I don't know. Maybe.
This is what happens when you're bored. I'm like, I'm just going to do my own little intro when he does his. And I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to do it and surprise
you. No, that was great.
I was surprised. Yes, well done. Very, what's it called? Gorilla? Very, that's not the word I'm looking for. Like ninja?
Sure.
Right? Like,
I'll take it.
Like, you know,
stealth-like.
Yeah, stealth. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. You had the stealth name going on, and I appreciate that. All right, what are we doing? We're doing a show. I'm all thrown off my game now because Richie Rich had a competing lengthy title.
Don't forget the star date.
Oh, thanks, man. Okay. Captain's log, star date 07232023. We already said who we are. Right? Something else. I'm missing something.
Phone number
603-283-6160. Is that it? Is that all the?
I really got him off his game.
Yeah.
I think so. So do we just leave now?
No. We got to be here for like 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
We got to talk and stuff.
All right.
Got to take calls from the regulars.
We do. Let's do that right away so that I can hopefully recombobulate. Let's go to this guy. I believe this is Alu Axelman. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Alu Axelman. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're excellent. How are you?
Awesome. While you recombobulate your thoughts, I'm going to break the law on radio, but don't worry. I won't say the bad words.
Yeah, try not to break that law.
Even though I'm not a doctor licensed by the state, I'm going to give some medical advice and saying that Sarah brought up beet powder and some other stuff and other magical potions a few weeks ago. The beet powder she's right about, it, like crushed beets, the powder, the super beets, it does improve circulation a lot. So it can improve your energy and stuff, but it's really good for circulation. And that's medical advice, even though I'm not a doctor. So I dare the federal government goons to come and try to take me by force.
You do work in the medical field, though, or did at one point, right?
Well, I'm a paramedic. Like, doctors, MDs, are allowed to give advice, but I think only to their patients. I don't know.
Okay.
The laws are ridiculous, but I'm sure you guys are familiar with the First Amendment. I know you guys are smart, at least Nikki. I don't know about the other two punks.
Yeah,
but not tonight. Not on Sundays.
I'm obviously discombobulated.
Yeah. So the First Amendment says, I'll read from the Constitution now, Congress shall make no law abridging free speech except for when they deem that it is reasonable and except for people giving medical advice or legal advice or other professional advice. That's actually what the First Amendment says, at least in my version of the Constitution.
Wait, so are you reading that?
So the First Amendment actually specifically calls out medical advice as an exception?
Captain.
Yes, I'm here.
Come on, man.
The sarcasm is not translating well over the phone, at least in the captain's ears.
Sorry, man.
Well,
that must be like the Texas school book constitution.
That's the 2020 updated edition.
Yeah.
All right. Ian Underwood has written a few books about it, and he explains very simply but very brilliantly in a few of his books that there's a difference between the written constitution and what's essentially become the oral constitution, which is not written anywhere, and it's really in the minds of judges and also out there in the ether and could come to exist at any point, depending on what a black-robed man might say.
There's a whole process, right? The constitution is what it is, right? Then then a case is brought forward. The case sets a precedent, right? The lawmakers write laws before the constitution says what it says. The lawmakers write laws based on the constitution. Right, then there's case law to support the law that was written, right? And that's what the effectual law is, because that's what sets the precedent. But you're like 3 or 4 or 5 degrees away from the original written constitution by that point.
Yeah, so the more I've researched it, the more I've realized that the First Amendment, like the free speech, religion, press, assembly, and redressing grievances, is violated according to federal laws systemically all the time. So guess what you think I'm going to do about it?
Break the law on the radio.
No, I'll never.
Oh,
do that.
Okay.
On. Don't be ridiculous. I'm going to write a book.
Oh, of course.
I would have never guessed that.
you should have. So I'm working on a book. The next one will be about the First Amendment being violated, and it's mostly federal issues that do it, federal court cases and federal laws. And I already have the outline. They're going to be around 30 chapters, all different areas where the First Amendment's violated by the government systemically in the laws and everything consistently.
Okay.
And it'll cover everything. I've already written 2 or 3 chapters, but it's going to be massive. And because I am so busy, I might actually do a Kickstarter, which some other free staters have done for books, and it's worked pretty well.
Yes.
I'm curious what you guys think about that, and if you guys would all consider throwing in a Satoshi or a Goldback toward a Kickstarter if there's good different tiers for different rewards.
I'll chuck something away.
Yeah, I've backed Kickstarters into it in the past. I'm not against it.
Yeah, certainly. And also, like, as a guy who has worked for you and also read your stuff, I just want to say thank you for doing what you do. I know how difficult it is, doing some form of media, whether it's books or audio or whatever, how difficult it is to not only, do your outline, get it all, done and produced and rearranged and edited and, ready for prime time. But then also there's the marketing aspect of it, too, to get people to actually read the thing and get them to know that it exists and, to have it sort of take off. I know what that process looks like. So just from, one creator to another, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, and likewise, I appreciate you guys so much. Yeah, thank you so much. So I'm going to be working on the book, and I'll keep you guys updated if I do a Kickstarter or something. But for now, if anyone wants to support me, I mean, just buying the books and reviewing them and reading them and stuff, that's tremendous, and sharing them with friends, like, that's the best way to support me and my work so I can keep doing what I'm doing.
You got a website?
Yep, aluaxelman.com, aluaxelman.com, and libertyblock.com, BLOCK.
Any other thoughts tonight?
I think that's all for now. I love the Sunday shows, so I'm looking forward to listening.
Alu, thanks for the call, man. Have a good night.
We need someone to work on violations of the Third Amendment. I feel like the first two get so much play and press, and by the time you get to Amendment number 3, it's like nobody cares anymore.
It's just the youngest child in a family of 3.
Yeah. I mean, but really, all I care about is guns and running my mouth.
Okay.
So, I mean, and that's covered in the first two, So.
Fair enough.
I can't really argue that with you.
Those are like my two favorite things.
Like if I just have those, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
But like we don't really have those.
Yeah, that's
right?
true.
I mean, just based on this show alone that we're doing right now, I do not have the freedom to say the words that I want to say or that I say normally. When these microphones are not on, I say words that you're not going to hear over this microphone. Okay. And that's just how I normally talk. Everybody who talks to me outside of this show knows that and is just like, that's fine, that's the captain. I try sometimes if I'm around like families, whatever, even though words can't be proven to have caused physical harm.
Yeah.
I will try and like, but sometimes I don't. And there's kids around, and they're like, oh, and like people are like, or somebody else will be like, hey, there's kids around. I'm like, sorry. These are real words that actual people say, like, stop sheltering your children.
Can we at least skip to like the 16th then and say, like, that one's probably a little important?
What's the 16th?
The one that makes it illegal to have slavery?
Yeah, we can keep that one.
Okay. So 1, 2, and 16.
Yeah, well,
somewhere in the middle.
Those are top three.
Top three. You just got to shuffle the order around, is what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, but I think that if you have freedom of speech and freedom of guns or weapons of, really any kind, that you're probably not going to be a slave.
Yeah, I mean...
You would hope.
Maybe.
One would hope, yeah.
I think we could also just trash the whole thing and just say, I can do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting anybody or taking their stuff.
Shred the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and just replace it with nothing.
Yeah, it's just a lot more simple that way.
Hey, everybody, subscribe to the non-aggression principle. Try that out once. See how that works for you. It's my opinion.
If it works, keep doing it.
What?
If it works, keep doing it.
Well, and I mean, it seems to be, like, I kind of feel like, even though I didn't have an acronym for it, I feel like the non-aggression principle has been a thing that I have wanted to subscribe to all of my life, or attempted to subscribe to all of my life.
It just makes sense.
Not always successfully, right? I'm human. I make mistakes, and I was a statist for most of my life.
Yeah.
But once I discovered what the NAP was, I'm like, oh yeah, I've always been this. This is a common refrain from libertarians. It makes so much sense. You're like, light bulbs go off, dots connect, T's become crossed, I's become dotted. And you're like, oh, wow, man. Like, you have an epiphany when you discover the NAP. At least I did, anyway.
It's amazing more people don't. Because on the day-to-day individual interaction, it's usually in play.
Right.
For the vast majority of people.
For the vast majority of time. Of transactions, of interactions, of gatherings, of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you go, like, well, but you can't give away that right to the government to hurt other people. And go, oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me that that's where people lose it.
Giving away the ability to aggress against others?
That they want the government to be able to do it. It's like, how would we survive without being abused?
Because they don't have the balls to do it themselves. Yeah. They want to outsource their violence.
That's it right there.
Right? It really is. It comes down to people are like... Well,
there ought to be a law.
Don't we have people to take care of that for us? And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, like government.
No.
And like, and that's what they mean. They're like, we have people to be violent on our behalf. We don't have to do it ourselves.
There's a disconnect there because I do believe that most people don't see it that way. They see it as a very good, beneficial thing. Taxes are great. The roads and public schools and hospitals and, all of the things that are funded by the state. It's very easy for a lot of people to see all of the good, and don't get me wrong, there are some good, but it's far more it's far more outweighed by the bad.
Way more.
And to me, we would be able to provide all of these services so much better if we just got rid of the state and then used literally anything else.
Yeah, I understand that, but who will build the roads?
People.
So who is, let's think of it, let's think about this.
Ooh.
Who is building the roads right now? The government contracts people to do it.
Yeah, government doesn't actually
do
it.
So it will literally be the same people, more than likely,
government takes way more money than it costs to build the roads. They take a hefty chunk off the top for themselves, and then they hire some other people to build the roads.
So
my mind is completely blown. I don't know what to do anymore with my life.
I know.
It was
This is the first time you've heard any of this, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Let's segue and let's go to it's the Sunday night edition Free Talk Live Ridley Report with Dave Ridley. Dave? Ridley?
Is it though?
Way to miss your cue, Dave.
Dude.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yay.
All that buildup.
Wow. I gave you like the best intro ever, and then there was like this big pause. Anyway, Dave Ridley, you're on Free Talk Live.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the, you know, the deplatforming and how to react to that. Sorry, I've got the hiccups. I was working on that for 5 minutes before I got on the air. Anyway, so my strategy, instead of trying to move forward like into Matrix and Mastodon and stuff like that, although I have tried that a little bit, I'm tending to retreat towards what worked like 5 years ago and then what worked 10 years ago. It's like this sort of, I call it a fighting retreat, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The three R's of libertarianism. Retreat, regroup, return.
So one of the things that we did in the 2005 era.
This is the greatest hiccups ever, by the way.
Sorry. It was a promising path of activism. But we didn't really explore it fully. You know, I moved on to YouTube, you know, shooting videos and stuff, and so we didn't do this. But what it was, we would kind of keep an eye on the mainstream press and wait until they reported on some abuse by the government.
Yeah.
Usually like coming after an old lady or something, or busting at a frat party, inappropriately, that kind of thing. And then we would contact the people who had been victimized by the victimless crime enforcement, and we'd go protest in front of some relevant government building. Usually we'd try to go during a government meeting that was occurring so that all the aggressors would be right there.
Okay.
And so anyway, I'm spinning that back up. We did it sort of in 2005. We sort of did it under the banner of nhfree.com. So I have acquired nhfree.com URL and directed it to, put some content up there explaining this process. And, now, I'm just monitoring the news, just waiting for something to happen. This is something where average people who don't live in New Hampshire can help us by also monitoring the New Hampshire news because I don't catch everything.
Yeah.
Here's another thing I would like to see at some point.
Okay.
There seems to, like, crypto seems to be taking off, right? A lot of libertarians were early adopters,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a lot of crypto wealth floating around, and it's not me because I didn't get in early enough.
Yeah.
But can we get some libertarian crypto billionaire to just buy some of the mainstream media outlets, like, as a pet project, right? Not a money-making thing, just...
Yeah.
I've got money to blow on dumb stuff now.
Yeah, community service, something like that.
Right,
yeah.
And just buy the Concord Monitor, and then we control it.
Or even, like,
that'd be great.
I'm surprised at the lack of knowledge amongst other libertarian groups. Like, we know, being here in New Hampshire, Forkfest and Porkfest pretty well. Porkfest is like, you know, that's common. It's still commonly known in the New Hampshire libertarian circles, but... Yep. Like, people who've gone to other, like, Midfest and Anarchon and, like...
Freedom
they're like,
Fest.
They're like, what's the Free State Project? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
How has the Free State Project not permeated the rest of the libertarian circles around even the United States? I don't understand that. So, like, I feel like the Free State Project is under-marketed, hugely under-marketed. Like, it could use a legit, some PR, some press releases, some billboards, some radio ads, something, right? A legit advertisement campaign, I think, would go a long way to helping convince freedom-minded folks to come to New Hampshire and help us.
Well, this radio show was, like, the biggest marketer for years.
Right.
Until the fallout.
Right.
And so you lose a little bit of momentum that way by not advertising on the biggest liberty radio show in the country.
Really?
Well, it's still, Free Talk Live is still huge. I mean, compared to everything else we've got, it's still on at least 100 stations.
Understood. But
180.
But Free State Project proper no longer advertises directly.
Right.
Right. You may have noticed over the years there's no longer the Free State Project being touted as much, and now it's the freedom migration to New Hampshire. Right. The branding has disappeared when the ad dollars disappeared.
Yeah. And by the way, there are two billionaires who have done fairly useful things. Bruce Fenton, when he moved to New Hampshire, was a financial services guy and a Bitcoin billionaire, I guess.
Okay.
And he organized some events and also ran for U.S. Senate, got some publicity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And of course, there's also Roger Veer, who's been very good to Free Talk Live, and he also sponsored my program before I got
right.
the platform.
I'm not saying they don't do anything useful. I'm saying we all know it's going to be a losing money effort, right? Because that media venue is on the downward out. It's like a dinosaur.
Right.
Right. But that's where normies go to get their news. Right, they watch WMUR and they read whatever local newspaper is in their station.
Right,
and I'm suggesting that if there was a billionaire willing to lose, you know, a few hundred million dollars,
or even like a couple hundred thousand, I think
whatever.
Would be an effective marketing
okay.
campaign. Like, I don't think it's that expensive.
Well, it's not a marketing campaign; it's buying the outlet.
Man. Oh, buying the outlet. Yeah, that's a little different. You're probably more accurate on your price there.
Yeah, but you buy the outlet,
I mean,
and then we control
yeah.
it. Right. There's not going to be another Concord newspaper popping up to compete in Concord with whomever has that one. You just take it over. And the only thing that costs to take it over is money.
That would be fun. But there's other ways they could do that. Like, they could start a new outlet and just pour money into getting it hits or traffic or whatnot. It wouldn't. All that matters is that people hear about it. It doesn't have to be complicated. They just have to hear about it.
Well, the right people have to hear about it. And as I just said, the vast majority of normies, right, still go to the Concord Monitor or still go to the local news station to get their news.
Right.
They're not going to the new outlet that popped up by a bunch of libertarians, you know, in New Hampshire. Right? You have to
yeah.
take over the existing outlets subversively, clandestinely,
yeah.
right, and just start feeding them liberty-oriented news. And as you can see, the sheep just regurgitate what they see on TV or what they read in the newspaper, and all we have to do is spin it in our direction.
I like the idea
the whole people,
of infiltrating the media and changing the media from the inside way better than I like the idea of infiltrating government and trying to change it from the inside.
Yeah, well, because you can't buy your way to the government, but you can bid on the company.
I mean, you probably could, but who would want to?
Well, usually, you do it to the government, usually the government ends up turning you into a horrible person.
Right. People get all mad at Jeff Bezos because he bought the Washington Post, and everything's pro-Amazon. Well, guess what? We can do the same thing. Right? Mm-hmm. We've got billionaires somewhere. It's not me, but they're out there, I would assume. I would imagine.
Yep. Final thoughts, Ridley?
That's all.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. RidleyReport.com. RidleyReport.com is his website. Keep up with Dave Ridley and what he does. He's a great activist. 603-283-6160. Still to come tonight, the heck is a face-kini? It's Free Talk Live. More is coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Phoenix has broken another daily heat record of 118 degrees. Yesterday was the 23rd day in a row of temperatures above 110. Forecasters warn more extreme heat is on the way. The National Weather Service has extended its extensive heat warning for the Southwest through Tuesday night. The heat dome that's been broiling the desert Southwest all month will expand over the central U.S. this week. The first Atlantic hurricane of the season formed late yesterday afternoon, hundreds of miles southeast of Newfoundland. But by this morning, Hurricane Dawn had weakened back to a tropical storm. Forecasters say the storm is heading back out toward the North Atlantic and is no threat to land. Another bus transporting migrants from Texas arrived in downtown Los Angeles yesterday. Mayor Karen Bass's office said it is the fifth bus to arrive in L.A. since June 14th. The city executed a plan Friday to assist the migrants when city officials became aware of the bus load. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Phone number is 603-283-6160. We've got some calls on hold. We'll get to those momentarily. Again, 603-283-6160. It is the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. You can call, talk about whatever's on your mind. We're here from 7 until 10 Eastern Time every Sunday. And some other days, too.
To be announced.
So there you go. Yeah. There you have it. In the studio, it is me, Captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Speaking of calls, let's go to them right now. Free Talk Live, unscreened caller, what's your name, please?
This is Robert from Charleston, South Carolina.
Robert, what's on your mind?
Well, I got the impression at the beginning of the conversation you were suggesting that it's better to have at least government possible, in other words, and laws that are written kind of generally rather than specifically. Well, I studied law in Germany, which goes by Roman law because Germany was actually part of the Roman Empire until 9 AD, so Germans were very much influenced by Rome. And
have you studied slavery?
No, I didn't study slavery, although Rome did have the equivalent of slaves. The slaves were actually the Slavs. That's how they got their name, because it was so similar.
So I mention this because I suspect the disconnect between yourself and myself is something along the lines of, you believe law is necessary, and I believe it isn't. Now, why would I believe that? Well, in the same way that I believe that up until, less than 100 years ago, mankind generally just thought that slavery was necessary, and everybody just accepted that as a common thought. And so I equate my belief that government is unnecessary to the same idea that slavery is unnecessary.
Well, slavery is unnecessary, and Rome agreed with that basically, but it took them a while to get around to that because, right. You see, slavery in the really old days was very usual, unfortunately, and Rome didn't like that. Rome was a democracy, and my great-great-grandfather was a Roman senator. Rome was a city-state until 1861, and my family believed very much in liberty and democracy, and there was always a fight at the top in Rome between the emperor, the heads of the army and the military, and the Senate. And the Senate was very much in favor of democracy. As a matter of fact, there was a Roman senator in 72 AD in Israel when Israel's last fortress was being taken down.
All right, let's halt there just for our listeners. What is your definition of democracy? What do you understand it to be?
Well, I can tell you the way Rome did it, but my definition of democracy would be that you have a vote in the Senate, which is represented, and each of those senators comes from a particular, two of them, like what we have in the United States, come from a particular area, and then they vote, and then they make their decision based upon the Roman Senate. Now, we have a bicameral legislature, which is even better, but Rome was a democracy, and they sure tried hard to keep it that way.
Okay. How do you reconcile that with liberty?
Liberty means the ability basically to do what you feel like as long as you don't influence anybody else by hurting them in terms of their own rights and their own feelings and their own ways. I mean,
these democracies are going to infringe on my liberties.
They shouldn't, basically. As long as you don't infringe on each other, you're fine.
Oh, then we don't need the democracies.
Well, democracy is a necessary basis for freedom, basically, because otherwise you would have
antithesis.
Right. Well, not really, because that's why we have our bicameral legislature set up that way, so that the little states have something to say. In other words, Rhode Island has two senators. So does Texas have two senators.
Okay, but let's say these senators cast their votes, and 51% of them agree. So now, by way of voting, 49% of the people will be forced to act the way the 51% wish them to act, correct?
No, because Rhode Island has only one congressman, but California has a whole, but that's aside from the point.
Let me give it a shot. Let's say I want to go like 65 on the highway, but these senators had voted that 55 is the maximum speed in the whole country. But I'm not hurting anybody by going 65, nor am I infringing on anybody else's liberties, but I will get accosted, ticketed, possibly arrested for this 10-mile-an-hour transgression based on democracy.
Well, in Germany, we've handled that case quite a bit, and we've come to the conclusion that there should be no speed limits in certain areas of the Autobahn. And we have a car in Germany, a production car that will do 253 miles an hour. That's the
Bugatti. That does not address the issue.
Right. But over here, democracy has voted 55 miles an hour, right? And I'm beholden to their rules, else I get aggressed against. So my liberty is infringed.
Well, if the legislatures see it that way, and the people voted them in and keep them in there, and the people want that, then that's the way it has to go. Because
I am not the people. You know, I am rich. Individual liberties are being infringed because of your democracy.
But for the common good.
Not for the common good. I've harmed no one. I've accosted no one. I've infringed on nobody's liberties by driving 65 on the highway.
Okay, let me put it this way. In Germany, every driver is trained to be a race driver because you couldn't have it other way. You'd have to be trained every single person.
Yeah, we're not talking about Germany. We're talking about here.
Or democracy in general.
Or democracy in general, right. This could be applied to any scenario. It doesn't have to be speed limits.
Okay, same situation. They're looking out for the common good. And the people of the United States of America are looking out for the common good through their
representatives. Who decides what the common good is?
Well, the representatives immediately, but generally the general public, actually.
So the common good, the democratically voted upon common good, trumps my individual liberty?
Yes.
Why?
It does.
Well, then screw off.
Once again, for the common good. If everybody were to drive, you'd have to be trained to be race drivers to drive at that speed. It's very
65 miles an hour?
Race driver.
No, oh, my gosh.
253 miles an hour is the fastest.
Okay, back to the scenario, right?
No, he admitted it. He said common good democracy trumps plan to
be delivered. So essentially, you cannot have freedom and democracy together.
Correct.
That was my point.
Easy, simple, that's it. Those are the facts. Because the common good is more important than
individual liberty
and
freedom.
I don't believe that, but essentially that's what democracy says. So if you want true freedom, democracy. Exactly.
Robert, are you familiar with the concept of gang rape?
I didn't know it was a concept, but I'm familiar with what it is.
You've heard of it, right? You know that it occurs sometimes. You know, some people get out of hand and these things occur. You see it in the news from time to time. Well, that's democracy. That is, you know, 10 people deciding that it is better for the common good to have their way with one person than it is for that one person to be free of their aggression.
I'll tell you what, in Rome, those 10 people would be locked up for sure.
Not if they voted on it. Not if they were the senators on a private island run by an Israeli with a private jet.
You know,
Epstein didn't kill himself.
And I think this is a very important message also, that just because the majority agrees on a thing and then says that that thing is just and right and for the greater good and best for everybody, does not mean that that is the right thing.
Right.
So we could have, you know, like millions of idiots, you know, trying to destroy the world and, you know, do all these horrible things. And then just because that minority, you know, are the people that can see the truth or at least don't want to be aggressed upon.
Yeah. And furthermore, as Robert pointed out, it would be the elected senators who decide what the common good is. Well, isn't that concentrating a whole bunch of power into a small minority of people?
Well, I asked my professor about that, Professor Dr. Knut Amelung, a very, very smart guy. And
apparently
he said don't count on it. You'd be shocked at what he knew. But anyhow, to make a long story short, his feeling was that laws are generally the result of what the general feeling of the public is. In other words, what the generally goes.
Feeling,
in other words,
right, yes, feeling. You're accurate, because the way laws are marketed, if you will, to people these days is by conjuring up feelings, generally of fear.
Preying on the emotions of the general population.
Right, and so that's how things like the Unpatriotic Act get passed.
Well, it's the mores of the people. He used the word, we spoke in German, so I would say mores would be the word.
Do you think that
the apathy of the people?
Yeah. Do you think, Robert, that decisions made by the majority of the people result in more liberty or less liberty?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand that.
Do you believe that decisions made by the majority of people via voting, senators, whatever it is, result in more liberty or less liberty?
Well, it depends upon the population. If you have a homogeneous group like in Germany versus a very heterogeneous group like New York City, you could come out with different results based upon many different cultures in New York City. But
overall,
in Germany, basically,
if you take government as an institution around the world from a global perspective, most governments, by the way, there's only a couple hundred of them, most governments claim at some point, at least in their own documents, to be democratic. They have voting and they have representatives and they have constitutions and all that kind
of stuff.
North
Korea is a republic.
Right. Yeah, believe that or not, right? It is. Like, they claim to be a republic. So most governments claim to be a democracy. And so do you think that most governments result in more liberty or less liberty?
Well, tendentially less, because you can't accommodate people who are way out there. There are some people who can do unbelievable things and have no problems whatsoever. In other words, drive at 253 miles an hour and never have an accident.
So let them. Yeah. Let them. Stop restricting their natural ability down to the common denominator of the worst drivers on the planet. If you could drive 250, drive 250. Do it.
Unfortunately, you have to. Otherwise,
no, you don't. You don't. You just said they're capable of doing it.
Also, how many people are going to be driving to? I mean, my car couldn't even go 250 miles an hour. It physically could not go that fast. And I'm assuming the majority of the people are on the same boat. So, yeah, maybe you'd have some people going 120 on the highway, but.
And let them. And when they cause an accident, if they cause an accident, hold them accountable. Right? With liberty comes personal responsibility. We don't have to preempt crimes.
Yes, but how do you pick up the pieces of people that are crushed in an accident like that? You can't do that anymore.
People get into accidents now.
How is that handled? It's handled by your insurance company.
It's already being handled. It would be handled the same way.
Except for you would eliminate the organization with guns that threatens to put you in a cage if you don't do what they tell you to do. Like, justice can be served just fine without the state intervening. Thank you for the call, Robert. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. Further thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered it pretty well. That was a good call, I think.
Let's move on to Richie Rich's favorite caller. We've got Skyler. No, I'm sorry. Oh. Sylvester?
Oh.
Scooby, yeah. Scooby's on. Skeeter. You're on Free Talk Live.
Scat Eater. That was my favorite.
Hey, you guys talking, and it's just making me nauseous.
Sweet.
You're welcome.
Are you green in the face?
Hey. Is that a violation of the NAP?
Oh, man. I switched over to a new phone. I think my audio should be better, but you guys sound horrible. Maybe...
Well, that's just how we regularly sound, yeah.
No, on my phone. On this, my old phone I switched over just to, because I think the audio is better.
Self-deprecating humor gets
What kind of phone do you get? Android? Apple? What do you got?
Yeah, and the S23. Well, my new one's the S23. I went back to the S21, I think.
Let me just check. Palm Pilot. I'm free.
I've got a trio over here.
I hear you guys talking and stuff. You know, I got problems with some of the stuff. I really called in to call. I'm going to scold you for something else in the past, but from what you guys are talking about now, just relevancy. You know, when you guys drive, you pollute, and that's against that violates that, even if it's minor in intensity. You know that, right?
Also,
you guys criticize democracy for forcing people to do things, but you want to use it to force people to participate in your secession.
I don't want to use democracy at all.
Yeah,
I don't even vote.
I could care less about it. I also don't vote, so there you have it.
Let's talk about the pollution one, because that's a tough nut to crack.
I'm not going to use it
for
that.
I'm not going
to vote. I just happen to support people who are for it.
Yeah, you're supporting a democratic movement to force people.
But that's in self-defense, you see, because the state totally is self-defense. The state violates your liberties every day, my liberties, everybody's liberties every day. They steal, they murder, they cause all sorts of heinous things. They throw people in cages. They ruin people's lives through things like taking their land, taking their property, all that kind of thing. So they're aggressing upon you every day. You think that's not self-defense? You're wrong.
So you can probably try to argue that when you're forcing states,
you have to try and argue it. It's a fact.
No, you can argue that you can force states who vote against you because they're violating your rights. But there's one demographic you're not considering: the non-voter.
That's me.
That's me.
Who wants to stay with the state?
Let them.
Right? You are forcing these people. They didn't aggress against you.
No.
And you're using the system to force them into participating in the society.
They can stay. It's fine.
Here's the beautiful thing, man. Like, much like religion, you can have voluntary governments that don't have geographic boundaries. So if they want to pay the state, the federal government, their taxes, and use the federal government services, they can do it. There's not going to be any pushback from us.
You're forcing them to having to go back and try to relinquish sovereignty back to the state.
No, they just continue living as they already were. They don't have to change anything. It's kind of like
Are you kidding me? Like, let's say an old person that doesn't vote, who's already paid into he's about to receive Social Security, right?
Sure.
When you force your state to secede,
they'll still be able to receive Social Security.
They're probably going to lose those federal benefits.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
What makes you think they'll lose those benefits after they paid into them their whole life?
Because they're seceding from the federal benefits.
That's what I'm saying. They don't have
them. So?
They don't have to secede.
What do you mean they don't have to? You're forcing the whole state.
Not forcing anybody.
The citizens of your state are now not part of the U.S.
So if you just, like, pause and actually listen to understand versus listening to argue, you would be able to hear what they are telling you because you're missing it completely. So if you guys would like to restart.
Like you guys were with subjective value, okay. But I really wasn't calling about this because...
Thanks for the call. I mean, you know, if you're not calling about the thing that we're talking about, well, then why did you call?
Well, you could change the subject.
He keeps calling.
You know, he could really benefit from my other services. Like, he needs to do some, like, meditation and deep breathing because he's like, bah, 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 bah. Like, chill out, take a breath, pause, and listen so we can have a conversation.
It's quite literally taking a look at the facts of the evidence and considering it objectively, right? He's not able to do that. And so are a lot of people. He's not the only one, which is why...
because he's got his own subjective opinion.
He does, but...
He won't admit it.
Right. But what he won't admit is he is a violent person. He wants violence to be used upon other people to force them to his preference.
Right.
Which is the definition of statism. Right? Forcing people to somebody else's preference. Democracy is exactly that as well. Democracy is 51% of the people forcing the other 49% of the people to their preference.
Yep.
That's all that it is. And so the 49% or whatever percentage it is, if it's 75, 25, whatever, if it's, you know, whoever wins the vote forces the people who voted against whatever the thing is to be subjected to that thing, whether they like it or not.
And for the landmass thing, right, like you can have a Christian and an atheist in a relationship in the same household that don't have to abide by each other's terms and conditions of the religion.
Right.
Right. The atheist doesn't have to tithe to the Christian church, and the Christian church isn't forced not to tithe by the atheist.
Right.
All
right.
So it could work the same way if you relinquish the concept of arbitrary lines in the sand dictating who your government is. And which, but through secession, we could eliminate that for those that don't want it in the physical geographic designation commonly referred to as New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And those that continue to want those government bennies, right, it would still be provided to them.
One
problem
of the,
solved. You're welcome.
Yeah, indeed. And it really is that simple. One of the things that many statists will often cite, including not only Skeeter, but also our previous caller, Robert, will cite, like, well, in this country they do this, and that solved that problem. Or in this country they do this other thing. When I was in Seattle, people would always look at, like, Iceland or Switzerland or, you know, oh, well, they've got this over there. Why can't we have that here? And it's like, well, okay, so let's take that concept for a minute. I want to take all parts of the law that favor individual liberty, right, from all the 200-plus countries that exist on planet Earth. So all the laws that favor individual liberty and put them into my own personal constitution, and I'm calling that the Constitution of Kick-Ass.
Nice.
I plan to live by that personal constitution. Now, if it works out for me, great. And if other people are like, damn, Kick-Ass, you're doing pretty good. What are you following? I'm like, oh, I'm following this constitution of Kick-Ass. Would you like to join that? And they're like, sure, but I live over here. I'm like, I don't care. Go ahead, join this new governance. The constitution of Kick-Ass.
This should be the topic for Alu's next book after the current book.
The Constitution of Kick-Ass?
Why not?
This concept isn't new, though. Like, I'm vamping on. There have been several of these tried. The one I'm most familiar with was a little more than a decade ago. There was a concept called Bit Nation.
Okay.
Right? And this was the idea that you brought up earlier, that you can have all of the services that governments provide without the geographic location.
Yeah.
So you can have judicial services, you can have protection services, you can have somebody that you pay for transportation, roads, that kind of a thing, services, but it's decoupled now from the geographic location and then also decoupled from the violent organizations known as states.
Yeah.
And so this concept was starting to take off. They ran out of money, of course, but They're not the only one. There's other concepts that have come since then. I can't remember off the top of my head. I was reading about one just a couple of weeks ago. But there, it's the same idea. And this idea is going to keep resurfacing until it gets, you know, sort of vetted out.
Until they figure it out that it works.
Yeah, until they get, like, but it is literally a combination of something like a cell 411, right, where, like, you've decentralized emergency services. Now you've decentralized things like notary services, record keeping, transportation services, judicial services, right? Now you can, instead of, oh, you were born in this plot of land, therefore you're subject to this violent gang. No. You can, for the first time, go through a menu of stuff. Oh, I need this amount of judicial services. I can only afford this level, so I'm going to pay that much. I only need this much protection service, so I'm going to pay this amount. If that changes, I can pay more. Or I can go to a different agency within this virtual nation, right? And so now you've got a menu. All of a sudden, it becomes a service provider.
I'll even make a prediction. If we were to decouple services from the state,
yes,
and let those who want to use the state use the state,
yes,
and those who don't want to use the state find their other free market alternatives, at some point, the people still using the state will look over at their neighbor using the free market services going, you're getting that value for that little?
Yeah.
And they'll go like, well, I'm changing too.
Yeah.
Right? And then they won't be forced into this, you know, hellhole of secession.
Or even sort of unbeknownst to, I'm going to call them, because they've changed now from their subjects to their customer base.
Yep.
At this point, these states that people subscribe to are now forced to compete with the free market services because they've been decoupled from the geography.
Yeah.
And so now they have to compete, otherwise they're going to lose their quote-unquote tax base, a.k.a. their subscriber base. But because they're a monopoly,
consumers get better services, right, for a lower price.
But because they're a monopoly on violence in a geographic area, that doesn't happen. 603-283-6160. Do you think having government is necessary? Give us a call. It's Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. Hour number two is next.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment, and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a one-week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this one-week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.